The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The topic that I have chosen, as I had mentioned last night, was to talk about some of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, to understand what does it mean to be the Shia of Ali. We cannot become like Ali, just as we cannot become like Hussein. But in Ziyarat al-Warisa, we address the Ashab of Hussein and we say, فَيَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَعَفُوزُ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That we say to the companions of Hussein that I wish I was there to have attained that same status as you have attained. So we can say to the Ashab of Ali that we cannot become like Ali, but we will try to become like the companions of Ali. And last night we started with the example of Salman al-Farsi. There's quite a lot to say about him. And even tonight I would not be able to complete. One of the important contributions of Salman was his idea and suggestion to the Prophet about digging the ditch, the trench around the strategic area in Medina, so that when the allied forces, Al-Ahzab, you know this surah in Quran, surah number 33, it's known as Al-Ahzab, means the allied forces, I'm using the modern term, the mushrikeen of Mecca and various tribes affiliated to them, and the Jewish tribes around Medina, they're all combined together for a final battle against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why it's known as Al-Ahzab. Both groups got together. And in that battle, it's there that, you know, the Prophet used these words for Salman, because when every group was assigned to dig the ditch, you know, Ansar said, where is Salman minna? Muhajirin said, no, Salman minna. He's from us. And Rasulullah said, he's not from Ansar, not from Muhajirin. Salman minna ahl al-bayt. And this is a unique honor given to a Sahabi to know any other Sahabi. Going to suffer because of his salawat. It was not only his words, even in his actions and his lifestyle, Salman tried to live the example of Ali. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, especially when he became the Khalifa, his lifestyle became very simple. It's not that he didn't have anything to eat or didn't have money at that time. He had. He was an affluent person by that time. But he decided that I am the Khalifa of Muslimin, and I would like to live a lifestyle where even the most poor person would be able to relate to me. So it was by choice. His poverty was by choice. And he wanted his governors actually to also be in the same way. If you look at Salman of course was not the governor during his time. He was a governor in the previous administration, actually during the time of Umar, by the permission of Ali, of course. For the sake of the general good of the Muslims, Amir al-Mu'mineen cooperated with the government on certain issues. And one of them was this issue of Salman becoming governor of Madain. There also, if you look at his lifestyle, very similar to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even his food was very simple. You know, bread and salt, nothing else. Whatever he would get, his share from Baitul Mal, he will give it away to the poor and the needy. Amir al-Mu'minin, in a letter to Usman bin Hunayf, his governor in Basra, when he found out that this person went to a very, you know, big, you know, grand party organized by some rich people, only the affluent and rich were there, Amir al-Mu'minin wrote a letter to him saying, you know, what are you doing? You're my governor. And then he says something very interesting. He says, I don't expect you to become like me. I know you, even though you are my governor, I know you cannot live a life like me. But at least try that. Try to get closer to me. And this is what I would say. The lesson that we can take from Salman is that, you know, we cannot become like Ali. Probably we cannot even reach to the level of Salman. But at least we can always look and see what we eat, what we drink. Is it from the halal sustenance? Is it coming from the halal source? And in that, we will be able to, you know, try to follow those footsteps of Salman and get closer and closer to Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. I wanted to go back to this issue of, you know, the gradings of the levels of Iman and the steps of Iman that I mentioned yesterday as the basis of my discussion. That we should realize that our life is the life of constant struggle to reach to the higher levels of Iman. And there is no end to that. We have to do that constantly till the last moment of our life. We cannot say, Alhamdulillah, I have reached to this level. Because whatever I think, there would be a level above it. Every khair that you do, there is something even more that you can do. Except one, and that is shahadat. After shahadat, you can't do anything. Iman has levels. Salman is on the 10th level. Abu Zar on the 9th, Miqdad on the 8th. Amir al-Mu'minin is not on a level, he's a symbol himself. He's the condition for Iman of individuals. Now let me go to another aspect of this concept. I just want to make this concept very clear before we move on. Interaction between Iman and Amal Salih. When you reach to a higher level, suppose you are on level 1 of Iman, and you try to work hard, your amal becomes better, your Iman elevates, goes up. When your Iman goes up, the value of your amal increases, your good deed. And when you improve on that, even the Iman becomes better. So there is an interaction between Iman and Amal, this true faith and good deed. If the level of Iman goes up, the quality of your good deed will go up. When the quality of good deeds go up, your level of Iman will also go up. And this goes continuously. And this is where you have to realize that when you talk about the good deeds of a person, the value of a good deed depends on the Iman of the person. You know, we have this whole debate, especially when they talk about religious pluralism, that, oh, we just look at the good deed. He's a good person, that's it. Iman is not that important. From our perspective, yes, we are human beings. We judge one another only on the basis of their actions, because we don't have the ability to know what is inside their heart. But don't expect the same standard and measure that Allah will be using. He has no limitations. And Quran is very clear about it. And that is why I'm using the ayat of Quran here, 6 of them, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that complete and true faith is a prerequisite for the acceptance of good deeds. Good deeds by themselves have no value. It depends on the true iman and the niyyat of an individual.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali Munhali Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.